attempt to get in the mindset of what God intends for us to get out of Proverbs. We'll reflect back on a few verses before today's lessons that where the author of Proverbs had gotten into. Let me back up a little bit. Hebrews traditions and language had two different words for sin. Not two different words, two different depths of sin. Does anybody remember what those two words were? Peccatories. If you reflect back on the few verses that just before we get to today's lesson, the author of Proverbs was warning us. We can easily, everybody's guilty of sin, that's peccatories. We all sin, we beg for forgiveness. But when that's not corrected and when that's not forgiven, we have a tendency, or there's quite a probability, we'll slip into what they call peccatory sin, which is evil to the core. It is something you dwell on, something that takes over your mindset, and you start plotting. And worse of all, you start getting other people involved in your sin. And so God, in His wisdom, has warned us in the last few verses before we left here last week, not to get into any sin, by the way. And how God measures sin, that's above my pay grade. The only thing I can tell you is a lot of warning about not getting into peccatory sin, which is plotting evil, thinking evil, and wanting to get others to do evil with you. So now we're going to get into verses 16 through 19 in this. And I'm reading from a New England version of the Bible. It says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Again, I warn you, this is one of many warnings that God is going to give us in Proverbs about this particular sin or danger of sin. And you take it to heart. If He warns us many times, and He's telling us it's a serious problem. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words, that forsaketh the friend of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Neither do they attain unto the paths of life. Of course, talking about the sin of adultery, the sin of fornication, the sin of prostitution, or being a part of any of thereof. He said the strange woman here, and then he backs it up. He says a foreigner that flatteth her with her words, and evidently, this particular person that he's talking about is not from that area. That she forsaketh the friend of her youth, all scholars believe that they're talking about her husband. Because in those days, they got married when they were very young. Yeah. 15, 16 years old.
Chair? Uh-huh. My translation, NIV, says it's an adulterous woman and from the wayward woman with the seductive words. Not foreign words, but seductive words.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another explanation for that, too. And he says, none that go unto her return again, neither do attain unto the paths of life. Someone turn to 1 Corinthians 6:9. This subject matter, or this particular situation, is picked up many times in the New Testament. And as they do, I'm going to remind you of that so that we'll know. This is not something lesson from the past. This is present today. We want to be mindful of it. 1 Corinthians 6:9.
For do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men
will not have a part of the kingdom of God. Will not go to heaven. Serious stuff we're talking about here. Serious stuff. That doesn't mean this can't be repented of. But that pathway will lead you to eternal destruction. Does anybody have any comments about what the author is trying to get across here? This is going to be covered, by the way, many times in Proverbs, 5th chapter, 6th chapter, 7th chapter, 9th chapter. We're going to be covering the same subject coming in the future.
I think this is so prevalent nowadays, this type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's even churches that will allow that, so to speak, instead of being against it. But
We know this was prevalent in Sodom and Gomorrah because it's spelled out to us. We know that the sacrificing of children was a problem in those days. Then you got to ask yourself, how far are we away from complete destruction because of the way we're living?
Not very.
Yeah, Kathy.
And we can't forget to put in that pornography is in here. You know, all that.
It's all of it.
And the thing of it is, I think they prove that everything that we see and we put our eyes on kind of sticks into our brain. As much as we want to forget it, it's in our computer banks up there. So when we're visually and all that sort of thing, it's going to be hard to erase. And after a while, the more you do it, the more you just can't. You have to have therapy to get it back out again if you're blessed enough to let that happen. So all this stuff with this sexual sin and seeing and doing, these things, they stick if you don't battle to keep them away.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so dangerous for our young people, even in taught in schools, that it's okay to for these young children to have sex changes, providing for them to have special treatments, and then they want to let a man that transferred to a woman to be allowed to go to the girl's bathroom, and we're supposed to stand still and allow this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everywhere. The world will not let you forget it, and it's bad enough on us adult Christians, but these young people that are exposed to it through media, what the world believes in, and what schools are teaching nowadays, I feel sorry for our young people.
I'm amazed that it's gotten down into your grammar schools.
Yeah.
In fact, kindergartens now.
Right.
That's Satan at work. And I think this is why in Proverbs, we've got to get the mindset of God. We got to understand that when we even notice this, we got to recognize for what it is, because Satan is pounding on us day after day. Turn on that TV, and he's corrupting us day after day after day. Go to those movies. He's corrupting us day after day after day. We do need to push back. We're going to be held accountable for that. We don't. We don't do anything else to voice our opinion, particularly our votes. Particularly our votes.
And I'm kind of like Russ said, you know, it's not going to get better, and we have to get stronger to withstand all that.
Oh, yeah.
Because Satan knows we're heading towards the last days, and the closer it gets, the harder he's going to push at us Christians.
Chuck always says, we're one day closer.
Yeah.
Right.
We come here one day closer.
Got me to thinking about how we as adults need to encourage our kids and our grandbabies.
Yes.
What a handsome boy you are. What a beautiful girl you are. Aren't you glad God made you that way? And encourage them to continue with what God has done for them and show them this is why God made you, because you're going to be a great man one day, or you're going to be a great woman one day. And don't give them a minute to think that they can be anything but what God
made. Anything what God wants them to be.
Yes, exactly.
All right, anybody have any more comments on those verses before we go on? All right, verses 20 to 22, he reaffirms us here, if we stay steadfast, we've got a special inheritance coming for us. So he tells us that the parts that will lead you to destruction if you take that path, and then he's going to remind you what he's got in store for you if you just listen to him and obey his words. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the path of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Just words that is evidence that integrity is better than treachery, honesty is better than thievery, truthfulness is better than falsehood, righteousness is better than wickedness. And all these good characteristics will lead to a better life, a more peaceful life, a longer life. Promises from God. They're promises. He keeps his promises. Anybody got any thoughts that want to? Again, I remind you, try to put this in your words and you, so that it sticks in your mindset. God, like I said, God wants me to walk in the way of good men. That's what God wants me to do. He wants me to have these blessings. Yeah. Again.
I would teach you that if Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The world, the devil has a draw too. And like was mentioned, fornication and it's a draw. It seems like the world is drawing, especially our youth,
yeah,
with a lot of, they just got, they, you know, it seems like they can use anything to draw, you know, any simple thing to draw, you know, it's like we said before about the computers, right? The computers is a draw. As we was coming up, things on TV, you know, it was, some things was bad, but it wasn't as bad. Mm-hmm. And it's a draw now.
Yeah.
I remember the commercials on TV, like the Winston. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. That kind of like draw you into wanting to taste some more. Mm-hmm. In the beer commercial, you know, Budweiser, the king of beer. You know, it just draws, and it's almost as though that the world is drawing, especially our youth. Is drawing more than God's word is drawing. So something got to happen. It's telling us that, you know, we got to get up off our couch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to get up and say something about this. And we need to get up and, you know, and tell our youth, because our youth is our future.
Mm-hmm.
Without them, we ain't going to have no future, spiritual mm-hmm. future anyway. You know, so it's a draw.
Because I'm telling you my age now, but we've gone from Kukla, Fran, and Ollie and Howdy Doody to Naked and Afraid.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
We have to be getting close to the end. We just have to be. Yeah, Judy.
You know, Jerry, we have the examples of the Old Testament. Israel didn't fall from God in one swoop thing. You have to remember, Satan is patient. And with each generation, he draws a few more.
Mm-hmm.
And a few more. And I think it's the lack of parents teaching their children so that these children will become strong in their faith. And Satan knows this, so he can draw these children. Our colleges, we have lost so many young people because of what colleges are teaching them. They leave high school and they strong, faithful Christians. They go to public colleges and they come out being taught it's just fables. You can't prove what the Bible teaches. And people, young kids are falling away from it. So Satan is in everything, in our schools, in our homes. He's everywhere, and he will draw with each generation more and more young people away. And look at our congregation. We need young people, but where are they? They're out in the world.
Mm-hmm. We got to go get them.
Yeah.
We got to go get them. Yeah. Okay. We go good to chapter 3. Basically, this chapter is divided into a call to commitment, the happiness and blessings of those who do trust in God, and the confidence and security in those who walk with God. And we've got a lot more promises right here. You talk about we have to teach our children, Judy. If you'll notice, up to, it continues on in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. It's like a father teaching his son. Starts off with my son, but it could be the same, my daughter.
Yep.
It could be the same thing in there. In other words, we should be passing these lessons on to our children, or to our grandchildren, or to our cousins, or whoever people we associate with. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will be added unto thee. Let not kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them around your neck. Remember we talked about them phylacteries you put in them. Sure. So you won't forget them. Be reminded of them all the time. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust Jehovah with all thy heart and lean not upon thy own understanding. This particular subject will be covered many times in Proverbs also. Trusting in your own heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. Be wise not, or not wise in thy own heart. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. It will be health to your navel. My version says navel. Some of the others have converted that to flesh. If you think about the umbilical cord, there's nothing more connected to our being, well-being than the umbilical cord. So mine says navel. And marrow to thy bones. Honor Jehovah with thy substance and with thy first fruits and all thine increase. Again, telling us to search our hearts about our giving. About what how God has blessed us with. So shall fill thy bond. Shall thy bonds be filled with plenty. That's a promise to God, and thy vat shall overflow with new wine. God is telling you in that last verse. You can't ever give me. You can't ever give me. Try it. You can't ever give me. On verse 2, for length of days shall be added to thy life, and peace will be added unto thee. Someone turn to Mark 10:30, read verses 30 to 31. For length of days and years of life and peace shall add to thee, will they add to thee. Who's got that? Mark 10:30 and verse 31.
For he shall receive and 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first.
There's no guarantee, and God is not promising you here that you're going to live, you will live long lives. All of us will live long lives, and our days will be increased, and that we'll have all the peace that we want, because there are exceptions to everything. Someone turn to Ecclesiastes 9:11. Whoever got it, read it.
Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all.
God allows time and chance to take his place. He's not going to direct everybody to riches and fame and peace. Time and chance will take its place in there. And they are those trials that we go through in life to see how we endure those trials. God wants to know how we endure those trials. Yeah, get ready.
I have had been in some low points in my life on this dialysis thing, but you know, God has been very, very good to me. Has allowed me to still be at home with my wife, my brother take care of me. I have to thank God every day because he has already lengthened my life. He gave me 15 years on this stuff and growing. Instead of going 3 days a week, I go 2. And I owe it all to God. I don't owe nothing to anybody else but him. He sits high, looks low, and knows what you need. But we got to have faith in him. You got to trust him to make sure that whatever he does will be in your favor. I do feel a little hard. I've been it, but I love it. Because I know he loves me. We have been through a lot in our lives. I imagine we'll be going through some other things in life. And I look at all things that I operations and all this stuff. I am so blessed to be in a situation where I am in now. Because he knew I had a dark point, a low point in my life. The Lord can bring you around if you read his word, pray to him, and let him guide your life. But that's all we need. We don't need to ride with the Lord.
Ray, for nothing else, your effort to come here every Sunday and every time you get here is an example to all of us.
Amen.
You're an inspiration to all of us. So God has a purpose. You know that.
Well,
we
yeah.
know that. I see that. We see that.
Yeah,
Chuck.
That was a dear brother reminded me. Excuse me. At times, hopefully in our prayer life, more often than not, we just have an episode with our Lord in prayer, thanking him for all that he's done. Not asking him for nothing, but just thanking him for what he's done.
Would you pay attention to verse number 4? You do all this, and thou shalt find favor and good understanding. Remember, understanding is common sense. Good understanding in the sight of God and man. Someone turn to Luke 2:52 and see who you'll be in the company of.
Luke 2:52.
Just see who you'll be in the company of if you follow what God is talking to us about here, getting wisdom.
Luke 2:52.
And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
That's what we want. That's what we're here for. That's what we're in this class for. Get wisdom and stand in good stature with God and man. Men will recognize it, by the way. They'll recognize your wisdom. And God, of course, would too. Trust in Jehovah with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding.
Amen.
Never trust your own understanding. Keep God's understanding.
Amen.
Acknowledge Him always. In other words, have His mindset. Acknowledge Him always, and He will direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 20, you don't have to turn to this, Proverbs 28 and 26 says, if you think that way, you'll become a fool.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be wise, you'll become a fool. Yeah, good job.
So in that reading, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Amen.
Also being implied there, you don't have to know, you don't have to understand everything to believe in God. You don't. You don't have to know how He's going to do it, or if He's going to do it the way you want it, or if He's going to do it in your time frame. You don't have to know all that. All you have to do, should do, trust in Him and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in Him. He doesn't need your help. He's got it.
Paul picks up this very same mind thought here when in Romans 12:16, he says, be not wise in your own conceit.
There you go.
I'm smarter. I'm smarter than God. I got this. In Isaiah 5:21, it says, woe to those who are wise in their own heart. Woe to them. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all your increases. That's where we get to search our hearts and purpose in our hearts as we return unto God some of those blessings. Anybody got any thoughts or questions on all those verses? Can you put those in your own mindset that you can remember?
Trusting in the Lord to me brings in mind that I cannot trust my own self. I can't say 100%, okay, I'm going to go out today and I am not going to do anything that causes sin. But I can trust in the Lord. So whose wisdom am I going to rely on? My own?
Mm-hmm.
No, I need to rely on God's wisdom. He already foresees what will happen if I sin or if I follow through on the teachings of Christ. And I pray all the time that the Lord would give me understanding, not the understanding that men have, but His understanding of things.
Right.
Because like you said, we have to get the mindset of God.
Yeah.
And we can't do that with the mindset of the world. We have to get the understanding of God on things, and that's the only way to get through life in the right way.
Of course, the whole purpose of this class is to get a basic understanding of how God feels about things, how He wants us to feel about things, and all the interactions that we have with each other on this earth and the decisions that we have to make. And we'll never stop making decisions. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. When you wake up in the morning, you got decisions to make. What are you going to wear? What are you going to eat? What are you going to go today? What you got to take care of? We'll be plagued with those constant making decisions. But if we can get His mindset instead of our mindset drifting off, boy, I think I'd like to go, I think I'd like to go to the movie. I think I'd like to go play golf today. Instead of drifting off on what we want to do to pleasure ourselves, what does God have for me to do today? What can I do to please God? What can I do to get His understanding? It'll become part of our nature. The world has formed our being. From the time you were able to understand what your mom and dad were trying to tell you, whether it's right or wrong, what all your friends were telling you, what they're teaching you, the world has set our mindset. So we've got to reset that to God's mindset. Yeah, Ken.
And, it's what we trust in. A lot of people trust in the creation more than the creator. They trust in the rabbit foot. They trust in four-leaf clover. They trust in the horseshoe. Some people can't, they leave their house and drive down the street, right? And they left their rabbit foot home. They got to turn around. They got it. it's what we trust in. It's like the value of money. A lot of people trust in money. And instead of trusting the creator, we trust in the creation of the creator. And that's what gets us a lot of trouble. Even in the church, things that we trust more, than God. And we just have to put God first in everything.
Amen.
In everything. My daddy was to me the most powerfulest man in the world. When I got to understand that God is
greater.
Is greater. I trusted in my dad to protect me for a long time. He'll protect me. He would do this. He would do that. But there came a time when I started had to do for him. So it's what we did. It's what we sometimes we get confused in what to trust in.
I had a fellow I worked with many years ago that was a complete success in life for business, making money, kids were in order, I seemed to be in order. And I remember telling him one day, I said, George, I said, you're the luckiest man I ever met. He said, John, he said, the harder I work, the luckier I got. You don't depend on luck, it's how much effort you put into it.
That's right.
How much effort you put into it. And you'll see good things happen. Yeah, it's Chuck.
Yeah, that's a change that I try to remind myself as I grow older in the faith and knowledge of the Lord, that we are blessed. Blessed, not luck. And then also back to Proverbs 3 and 9, where it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Of course, he's using the analogy of the farm, and we can understand that. But the principle applies to us who are being employed and receive a paycheck. Those blessings are also from God, that you are employed and that you're able to pay your bills. And so when we were younger and immature in the faith, we would, back in those days, at the end of the month, we say, well, what's left in the checkbook for contribution? We've learned that that's not the right way. That is not the first fruits. That when we get our paycheck, we set that aside first, right away. That is the Lord's. We're going to purpose it on Lord's Day. And so that, too, came with time and with knowledge and with learning. That's the same thing with everything, not only to our money, but also especially our time.
Right.
The first thing in the morning, what are we doing? Are we thinking about that football game? Are we thinking about going to the golf course? Are we thinking about things that take you away right off the bat from God? But we should, hopefully all of us in our prayer life, should be getting better and say, thank you, Lord, for this day. And as you mentioned, to segue in, what do you have me to do for you today, Father? Help my eyes to see those in need in accordance with your will. Help me be that person you need me to be at the appropriate time. Because again, He will answer your prayer, and you're going to find yourself in a situation where you may be the person that's at the checkout counter at the grocery store, and you're moved to ask the lady or the man, "How are you doing? Are you okay? Your God has blessed you." And you might find out that person may open up and say, "I need prayer." And that's where, there you go. That's the opportunity right there to let them know that God has sent you to be there for them.
That illustration was a perfect example of what we're trying to do here. Take God's word, which first fruits then were cattle and crops and sheep and whatever they were growing, fruit trees, and then put them into today's wording so they stick with you. First fruits is what we earn every day. The health that He gave us that we got up this morning. The job that He gave us. The income He gave us. And that's exactly what we wanted. And that's why it's good to discuss this, because there's wisdom in this class that we can all gather something from. It doesn't rest in one spot. It doesn't rest with me standing right here. It's everybody in this class. Yeah, Kathy.
And our prayer should be first thing after we said thank you for half an hour or more. Then we say, "Lord, make me a servant today.
Make
me a servant for you."
And mean it.
And have eyes to see. And if we're doing what the Lord wants first, then, oh my goodness, what a great day it'll be.
Great day it'll be. So open my eyes, Lord. Where's the harvest out there? Send them in here. Send them in here. Okay, verses 11 through 20 are classified as the happiness and blessings to those who trust in God. And basically, that's basically what it covers. Again, he's talking, got to be reminded, why is he saying my son? Because he wants us to teach us. He wants us to pass it on. So he's like talking to my son. Despise not the chastening of Jehovah. When he says chastening, what is he talking about?
Discipline.
Despise not when you find that you're in trouble. And you got problems. And what caused them? Why am I here? And why do I need to be corrected? Yeah, Chuck.
I was going to say that once you realize that you are being corrected, don't harbor hard feelings because you're being corrected. Unfortunately, people will do that. And of course, when I was a kid, probably some of us also did it when we were a kid and we're being disciplined, we say foolish things like, "You don't love me." But we didn't understand. But we were the foolish ones. We did not understand that, yes, they do love us. And this is what a loving parent does, would do, needs to do. And so, of course, now we understand that God is perfect in every way.
Our first reaction is, "Poor me. Why is this happening to me? Look at all the people out there that are having problems. Why is this happening to me?"
Why not you?
Right. What if you never have that feeling of being corrected? What does that tell you? You're in deep trouble. God doesn't love you if you're not correcting you. He doesn't love you. He loves those He corrects. And He loves those who accept correction and change their life because of correction. Because we'll never change if we're not corrected and say, "Hey, you're on the wrong path." Yeah.
You know, we spoke about children, right? That's where our children is headed because we have left God's word in chastening our children. You know, a lot of people, you know, they say, you don't beat your child, you know, you don't hurt them. But the Bible teaches about beat time. And when we teach our children, we teach them early, not when they get 6'6" and then start, you know. We're supposed to teach them, beat time means early.
Right.
Early. Teach them, you beat, it says beat. Beat, you know, discipline or beat, if it's called beating. A little boy, his mother was fixing his food, right? And he don't like gravy on his vegetable. And his mother accidentally put gravy on his vegetable. And he just as all as he could be, I don't want it. I'm not going to eat it, right? Are you into it? You know, and she that, Jimmy, now you should eat it. Now, come on, you know. The Bible teaches, and we have gotten away with from it because the law says now that if you beat your child, you can go to jail. And this, we're doing this to ourselves. We have left this. We have left it. Are you with me? And our children is growing up. The Bible teaches that, that a child grows himself is being for the change. You know, that means that we don't chase them. If we don't chase them early, not, like I said, not when they get 6 foot two.
Right.
You know, chase them early, and teach them God. You know, present, teach them, let them know God. And that's how we chasten them. You know, we discipline them correctly. You know, let them know that if you do wrong, you're going to get in trouble. And I love you. That's why I would probably spank you or whatever. But if you grow up and get in trouble with the police ain't going to love you like I do. You know, they're going to chase at you in a different way. You see, so.
His tears when he's young from correction will save you tears.
Yes, sir. All right.
In your
yes.
Age.
Yeah.
But we have gotten
crying over it.
We slowly but sure we don't want to beat our kids. You know, like I said, not when they get 6 foot two, because they might beat you back.
That's right.
You know, but when it's early
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Early.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ray.
I just wanted to say that you're absolutely right, bro. I'm thankful for the whipping that guy.
Yes, sir.
For my daddy, my mama. When it did come on growing up, because it made me a better person. I made in my mind years ago, and even in school, I said, well, my mama can't afford me getting me out of trouble. You can't be going downtown and bailing me out. So I will make sure I keep my nose clean. Try to do the right thing. And I wasn't in the church then. But it's just some of that mother will and some of that good teaching that my parents and grandparents and all gave me. Then, when I got grown, I had to make sure that try to guide our children right. That they don't, you know, do the wrong thing. Sometimes they do, sometimes they will stray away. But sometimes, most of the time, they'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come back. Yes.
Chuck, you said give us that something. We got to finish this class up.
Yeah. No, we do have that responsibility for our immediate children and also for grandparents and also for the children within our faith, especially within our own congregations. Every congregational members have responsibility for each other and also for our young ones. And so we need to love on them. We need to love every one of us. We need to love on them. They need that encouragement. They need to be embraced by every one of us in here. And also, our challenge as we supposed to be mature is that don't let your feelings get in the way of wisdom. You know, because our dear grandchildren, those precious angels, those perfect babies, those blessings, they need discipline too.
Oh, yeah.
They do. And so, they're not, no one should be exempt from that. Loving discipline, yes, we understand it. It's not something hateful, but loving discipline. So they understand what God's plan is, that you will have respect for the elderly. You have respect for those who are older. And that's for anyone. You know, they should. Our nation's gotten away from saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And David was a man after God's own heart, yeah. But God disciplined him. He disciplined him.
And you know, David is a good example on how to handle discipline.
Right.
Because when he was made aware of what God was doing in his life, he accepted it. And I think, really, when I read David, he was glad that he was being corrected. And that's the attitude we should have. Mm-hmm. I mean, we pray God for God not to let us stray from the straight and narrow way. How's he going to do that? He has to pursue us. He has to chastise us if we head in the wrong direction. And then we have to be having the open mindset to accept that and to turn from the ways.
How else are we going to change if we won't accept discipline? Yeah.
Exactly.
Good class. We'll take a good morning.
Good.